Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's afternoon for me, in case you didn't know. I was just telling Alan and Ginger, I said, you know, I woke up this morning, it was 5:30, and I was like, congratulations, I slept in till like almost noon in Spain. I went downstairs and got some coffee and came back upstairs and opened up my laptop, and my laptop said it was 4:30, and I was like, oh, no one changed my clock at the time change. So here I was up at 4:30, but it was good. I still felt like I slept in, so... it's good to be back. It was nice to get away. Spain is a wonderful place with great food, but you know, a couple of interesting things of my trip that I'll share some other time, but just a couple things. There was very few English speakers there, which really surprised me. I mean, not with our group per se, but if you went downtown to a restaurant or to a store, it was very hard to find someone that spoke English, and that was very surprising. But if you go to Barcelona, it's not like that, but we were in Sabadell, and it was a little more, it wasn't really a country, it was a smaller city, but they just don't have the need there. And then I got the impression that even those that spoke some English are very intimidated to actually speak it, so they'll just say no, that they don't. So anyhow, it's good to be back, and you know, even though it's feeling like afternoon for me. Lots of announcements, though, this morning. Let's start with some mail. The Martins, so this is Barry and Michelle's daughter and son-in-law and their family, and they're part of the discipleship ministries up in Lancaster. And so they sent their annual Christmas card. I'm going to post that in the back. And you know, they're just, again, praising the Lord for his faithfulness to them this year through some health challenges and, of course, raising some teenagers. So I'll let you read that. I will post that in the back after church, and you can take a look at that. But it's good to hear from them. Other things going on. The newsletter, we'll try to get that out next Sunday. So if you have something for the newsletter, please let Alan or Ginger know by Friday this week, including me. I'll try to get my stuff in by then. December 11th is our Toys for Tots deadline. So if you would like to donate to the Toys for Tots, a unopened brand new toy put in the box over there. I know this is Harry's pride and joy. He loves doing this, for the local area. And so again, I need him in by December 11th. Speaking of Harry Spade, he tested positive for COVID either on Friday or yesterday. I think maybe it was Friday. So there has been a small outbreak in the Yellow Springs, Cape and Springs area. And so, anyhow, so Mike is saying a big outbreak. A number of people. So we have Harry tested positive. Lori and Henry Krautwurst tested positive. Vanessa and Joey, I guess, tested positive in the last couple of weeks. And so they're almost out of quarantine. Charlie C. Is in the hospital. He's awaiting bypass surgery on Monday. Dan, I guess, did Dan make it over here? Well, Dan was here this morning, and so Dan, he has a kidney stone procedure tomorrow. So we should be praying for Dan and for Charlie C. tomorrow as they go in for these procedures, that the Lord would be gracious. Trying to think of other, those are probably the best prayer requests. Some other stuff going on, don't forget we're coming up on our December 12th council meeting, so we'll be looking for some volunteers, right, to be members at large and to serve on some committees. So if you can let the current members at large know if you'd be willing to do that, that would be great. We need to have that information by December 12th. The Ladies Fellowship will meet after church for just a short period in the Sunday School building, 5 or 10 minutes, Ginger says, but meet over there so they can have some conversation about what's going on in the next couple of months. That would be great. And let me see. Oh, no Thanksgiving service tonight. We were going to have the community service with the four churches at Bethel, and that's been canceled again due to this outbreak of COVID in the area. So don't go over there. The church will be dark. I'm trying to think. Let's see. Shoe boxes were picked up by the 14th, right?
No, they were delivered.
Delivered. 55, wow, that is amazing. I was out of the room, yeah. That's awesome.
55
this year. We did get a Christmas ornament for our tree sent back to us. So that's nice. I did hear that. And yes, well, that's just a great, that's just so exciting, isn't it? To see just, you know, the good that we can do, not just locally, but in the world. Just see something so small. It'll be interesting to see some of the stories that come out of, specifically out of this year, especially as lots of countries are still suffering the effects of being locked down for COVID. So this should be a real opportunity for blessing. Tom is back and here, so we're praising the Lord for that. He says I just talked to him in the narthex there, and he said he's feeling well overall, and so that's good news. He is now awaiting an appointment with a heart doctor to see what the next step is. So let's just be praying for Tom as he waits for that appointment, that the doctors would know what to do and when to do it, and that that would go well. That's all I have. Oh, one more announcement, just in case you're interested. The district, the Christian Church District, the Disciples of Christ, are having a hymn sing in Strasbourg December 5th. At least this is on the schedule for now. So if you want more information about that, see me afterwards, and we'll see if we can't get a carload to go down for that if they still hold that December 5th. That's all the announcements I have. Like I say, it's great to be back. Is there anything that I might have missed or we need to talk about? Okay, that's great. Yeah, and I know Joanne had it's called a reverse joint replacement or reverse something, and it's where they turn a bone around or something. It's supposed to be helpful, but apparently, like you say, it wasn't as helpful as she would like. And she has been in a pain for a number of years. So pray for Joanne and Earl. That's great. I'll try to get in touch with them this week. Anything else? Anybody else that needs to be lifted up? Okay, well, let's stand together then as the Lord calls us to worship from Psalm 135. The Lord is worthy of our worship. He longs for us to be in His presence. We should long to be there as well. Hear the Lord call you to worship, O people of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Give praise, O servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to His name, for it is pleasant. Let's pray. Lord, as we come into Your presence, we are grateful for the opportunity to worship You, to lift Your name on high, to proclaim the day of the Lord in this place. We thank You for the opportunity to do it freely and for the boldness that we have through the blood of Christ to come in with great rejoicing. We ask that our worship would be acceptable, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you would take your hymnals and turn to hymn number 518, we can, again, encourage one another to come into the presence of the Lord as thankful people. 518. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. What a great reminder as we come into God's presence that He is a faithful provider. And what a great song to sing as Thanksgiving approaches. And we remember to be thankful for all the Lord has provided for us this year and all that we know and trust that He will provide for us next year as well. Well, turn in your Bibles to Psalm number 2. Psalm 2 in the Pew Bible, it's page 528. Again, if you're looking for Psalms, just turn to the middle of your Bible, go to the beginning. Psalm 1 and 2, there is some thought that they go together, although they're split in our book of Psalms. Psalm 1 talks about how blessed it is to be someone who knows the righteousness of the Lord. Psalm 2 speaks of man's rejection of God and the folly, the foolishness to reject such a wonderful Savior. So Psalm 2, verses 1 through 12. It says, "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then He will speak to them in His wrath and terrify them in His fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way. For His wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in Him." And we're going to see later in our passage in Matthew chapter 26 how vain it is, how silly in some sense it is to plot against the ways of the Lord. For the Lord will have His way with His people and in the world. Well, let's turn to prayer now, knowing that the Lord is also having His way in our lives, bringing sickness and health, carrying us along in times of success and failure. He's a faithful God to watch over us, drawing us to Him, all things done for His glory. Let's pray. Lord, as we come into Your presence, we come with thankful hearts for the opportunity to come, for the knowledge, Lord, that You are a merciful and gracious God to us. We come, Lord, knowing that You hear and respond, that You will act on our behalf. We come with the knowledge that You've been faithful in the past, and You're faithful today, and will be faithful in the future because, Lord, You never change. You are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so we come to You, Lord, and lay these requests before You. Lord, we ask that Your Spirit would be at work in a mighty way in the world. Lord, we pray that the world would know You and love You and turn to You in repentance, that they'd be drawn to You through the power of Your Spirit to see the work of Christ for what it is, the only true way of salvation. We pray that not just for the world, but for our country and for our state and for our community. Lord, we know there are those here, nearby that don't know You. They don't know Your goodness. They don't see Your value. And so we pray that Your Spirit would be at work through local ministries and through local churches to share the power of the gospel, especially during times of Thanksgiving and during times of Christmas. Lord, what an opportunity we have to show people, to share with them that our hope is in You. We pray, Lord, that You would make that powerful and effective. Lord, we have many in our fellowship and in the knowledge of our fellowship that are facing sickness and health concerns. And so, Lord, we do lift up Dan and Charlie as they go in for procedures tomorrow, and we pray, Lord, that those procedures would be effective for their recovery. Give the doctors skill. Give the nurses compassion. Give the medicine an effectiveness that brings them back to health. And as we put them into your hand, Lord, we pray that they would just know a real calmness about them as they know they are in the hand of the great physician. Lord, we praise you for Tom's recovery so far, and we ask that as he awaits this next appointment, that you would just hold him in your arms, right? Helping him to be peaceful as he awaits the outcome of these appointments. Lord, we pray that he would continue to do well and to feel good and to be able to sleep. Lord, he's a real blessing to us, and so we pray that as you know, as he awaits this appointment, that he would know your love for him. Lord, we think of Lori and Henry and Harry, who have all tested positive for COVID, and Vanessa and Joey. And Lord, we're just thankful that right now their symptoms are not severe enough to put them in the hospital. And so we pray that they would continue to recover, that their vaccines would be effective to ward off some of the effects, and that their bodies would be able to fight the rest of the effects of this, and that they would be restored to health. Lord, we know there's an outbreak in our community, and so we pray protection for our community, that, again, those that have been infected would not need to be in the hospital, and that they would have the mildest possible symptoms and be able to recover in the next couple of weeks. Lord, we just think of this, these outbreaks that are continuing to happen across the globe. Lord, we know you are a God who is in charge. And so we pray, Lord, that you would be using this as a way to draw people to yourself. That they would see, Lord, that no matter the best medicine, no matter the best practices, that we are not in control of that that is around us, Lord, but you are. And so we pray, Lord, that our hearts and minds would be turned to you, trusting in you, knowing that you will bring about everything good for those that love you. We don't know what that looks like, Lord, and that scares us, but Lord, we know that you are faithful. So teach us to rest in you, and all these things will glorify you, Lord, through the name of Jesus. I pray this in his name. Amen. Now let's join our hearts together reciting the Lord's Prayer as he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I did just remember, as we're talking about Thanksgiving, there was one more announcement. The Amazing Grace Food Bank does have a number of turkeys and food boxes left for this week. So if you happen to know of anybody in need of a Thanksgiving dinner, or some help making Thanksgiving dinner, have a larger food box, please let me know, and I'll get a hold of Mike, and we'll get that delivered to them. So they do have a number available, and that would be great. Well, let's stay seated and sing hymn number 49, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues. Oh, that we would be a people that sing of the greatness of God every day. Number 49, let's join our hearts together. Thank you. What a great reminder that the Lord has dealt with our sin so that we're made righteous in Him, and we should rejoice in that on a daily basis. Well, I'd ask the ushers to come forward and accept our morning offering. Again, an opportunity to come into His presence and give just a portion back as a sign to the Lord, a sign to one another, a sign to the community that we believe that all good things come from the Lord, and we believe in His right to call just a portion back to Himself. So, men, please come. Let's stand together for the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, we bring just this portion back to You. Lord, it's Yours to begin with. So we ask that You would accept it through the name of Jesus as our offering of love to You. We pray that You would use it to show forth Your glory both here and afar, and that many would be brought into the kingdom through the work of this portion of our monetary sacrifice, Lord. You've asked for it. We freely give it to You with cheerful hearts. Use it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, if I mentioned I did get to preach last week, luckily I got to preach in English and listen to it be translated into Spanish. It was an interesting experience to have to stop every sentence or two and let the interpreter catch up, and so, but that was a blessing. What was interesting is in Spain, they have 6 weeks of Advent. And so last week was their first week of Advent. And so I mentioned that just to prepare you for our 4 weeks of Advent, which will start next week. I hope you're ready for that. It's interesting to see them have a couple of extra weeks. Well, whenever you start putting something together, you know, right, there are certain things that have to come first. Right, do section A before you do section B. Doesn't matter whether you're putting a building together or a model car together or putting a dinner together, right? Certain things take longer than others. There's these steps involved. And the more complicated things are, right, the more planning that's involved in them. Well, in this morning's passage in Matthew chapter 26, right, we're going to see that there are these events that have to take place leading up to the crucifixion. Events that have been planned ahead of time. They're not just happening on their own. You see, this crucifixion, this sacrifice for God's people was planned from before the foundation of the world. And we're going to see that God's planning is perfect, even as we see Jesus move towards the cross. Let's pray. Lord, open our eyes this morning to the perfection of this plan of yours, even in the midst of great wickedness, even in the midst of great sorrow, there is this this perfect plan of yours that comes about because of your strong arm and your will. And so we pray, Lord, that we would see it and be encouraged by it. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, have you had any pivotal moments in your life? You know, moments you can look back on and say, wow, things changed then. I bet you do. And I would say to you, you probably have more than one. There are probably a number of moments in your life where things changed. And I could think of some myself. I was going through it on the airplane on the way home. Some of the things, like when I joined the Air Force, that changed the direction of my life. When I married my wife, Lori, when each of our children was born, it changed who we were as a family. When I got ordained, do you have moments like that that you can look at? Things that changed your world, you could say, forever. Well, here at the end of the book of Matthew, really, we're getting very close to the end. There's only 28 chapters. Here we are in chapter 26. Right? Here at the end, we're going to see that Matthew is putting these kind of moments together, moments in the life of Jesus that changed everything, right? Changed the world, changed the world's understanding of God, changed the world's understanding of who Jesus is. And so what I want to look at this morning in Matthew 26, and if you're looking in your pew Bible, it's page 988. If you've got your own Bible, just Matthew, Mark, Luke, you're right at the end of Matthew, Matthew 26. Here's what I want us to see. Since the crucifixion is the pivotal event in history, and I put in here so far, right? There's one more pivotal event coming, but so far, the crucifixion is the most pivotal moment in history. It's reasonable for you to share with others that God rules over events in history. Did you think about Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter and, you know, sharing your faith with others? Again, Sunday school, we're talking about we have a reasonable faith, one that's not just a jump in the dark. Right? We have good reasons to believe that what the Bible says is true. And so it's reasonable for you to share with others that God rules over events in history. It's reasonable for you to share that the love of Jesus is really worth sacrificing everything. That's what we're going to see in our passage this morning. And then third, we're going to see that Jesus may not be who you thought he was. He may not be who you thought he was. Well, let's start by reading our passage here. This is the word of the Lord. It is infallible, right? It's inerrant. It's all sufficient for our life. Hear it. Matthew 26, the first 16 verses. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, 'Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people.' Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head and as he reclined at table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor.' But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, 'Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her.' Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?' And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him." Well, the first thing I want us to see this morning is that God here is ruling over events in history. Now, Jesus has told in the book of Matthew, anyhow, Jesus has told the disciples of his impending crucifixion 3 times. In Matthew 16, in Matthew 17, in Matthew 20, each with increasingly detailed accounts of what will happen. Now, here in Matthew 26, Jesus tells them not just what will happen, but when it will happen. In 2 days. And there's a little irony here in the story. I hope you see it. The chief priests and the elders, they want Jesus dead. And the sooner, the better. And yet, they're planning to kill Jesus at least 9 days from now. Because they say not till after the feast, right? 2 days till Passover, 7 days for the feast. They're planning to kill Jesus in 9 days. But God has other plans, right? God has other plans. It's very ironic. They want to wait. Jesus is saying, no, we're not going to wait for their timing. We're going to do it sooner. Why? Because God is in charge. He gets to pick the day that his son will die. And it says in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Verse 5 in Galatians 4 says, to redeem those who were under the law, so that they might receive adoptions as sons. See, God has got this plan going, planning everything out down to every detail, and he doesn't wait for the plotting of men. Right? He works on his own time scale. He reigns over all things, over the birth of his son, over the life of his son, over the crucifixion of his own son. And it won't be when wicked men decide. Right? It will be when God has decided. God controls every moment in history. And trust me, that's really good news for us, isn't it? That we know that God is in control and that plotting men cannot have any sway in God's plan. Is there something you think is out of control in your life right now? Maybe you think it's out of God's control in your life right now. Something you think needs to be fixed right now and God's not doing it right away. Are you having a hard time waiting on God to act? Waiting for his timing? Waiting for him to move? Waiting for him to fix it for you? And as you're waiting, does that make you think he's not able to fix it, or he doesn't want to fix it, or or he's not in charge of all things. Otherwise, he would fix it. This passage here, dealing with the crucifixion of his only son, tells us, no, God is in charge of even the hardest of things, right? And they'll be accomplished in his timing. The problem is, we like to be in control. And when we are not in control, that's when we start to wonder what's going on. I think that's one reason the pandemic's been so hard, right? It's brought to light that we're not in control. We think we are, but we're not. But listen, the pandemic hasn't made it so that we're not in control. It's just pointed out something that was true all along. It was true all along. We have never been in control. Doesn't matter if it's something that affects the entire world or just your own little universe. You are not in control. But that's okay. Because our passage lets us know this morning that God is, and we know he's a good God, and he's a faithful God, and we know that he is working in all things. It's a reminder that he controls every moment in history. Not just these big moments, but every moment. Good news. The death of Christ will bring a huge change to the world, and that's a change that God has been orchestrating and planning since the very beginning. The crucifixion is going to be a pivotal change in the history of the world. And so it's reasonable for us to share the idea that God controls everything around us. It's reasonable for us to share that. But it's also reasonable for us to share the fact that the love of Jesus is worth sacrificing everything. Now, like I said, the religious leaders want Jesus dead. And this woman in the passage, she knows they're going to get their wish. Do you see that in the passage here? This woman knows that these religious leaders are going to get their wish. Now, Matthew doesn't identify her. But that's okay. We've got other gospel writers that do. John, for example, in John 12, identifies this Mary as the sister of Lazarus. Right? She's someone we're familiar with. And in fact, in his gospel, John even suggests that Mary's been saving this bottle of very expensive perfume or ointment or whatever you want to call it. Right? She's been saving it for this occasion. She's been waiting to use it. Now, it's interesting in Matthew, we've talked about this a number of times, that the disciples don't get it. Jesus tells them, I'm going to be crucified. What does Peter say? No, you're not. Right? They just don't get it. And yet, here we have Mary who gets it. Right? The disciples don't understand it, but Mary does. Why is that? How does that happen? Well, everything that we know about Mary, we always see her at the feet of Jesus, always listening to Jesus, always very intently responding to his teaching. Right? She wasn't just hanging out with him. She was listening to him. She believed in what he said. You know, of all the people that should have known, it's Mary that believes that Jesus is going to die in 2 days. Right? She believes his word. If he says he's dying in 2 days, this is my opportunity. And what's even better, I believe, is that she understands why he's dying. In some sense, maybe that's why she's so full of sorrow. Right? Now, if you were a chemist, I'm not a chemist, but if you were a chemist and you were researching how things interacted with one another, trying to come up with some sort of great new breakthrough, you couldn't just know what happened in the end. That wouldn't be good because you'd have to be able to recreate it, right? You'd have to know why things were happening, why when these things were mixed together, you know, they did the A instead of B. You know, they created something good instead of exploding. You'd have to understand all that. And that's where Mary is, right? She doesn't only know what's going to happen. She doesn't only know when it's going to happen, but she understands why it's going to happen. She knows that Jesus has to go to the cross so that she could be redeemed. She knows that. And she loves Jesus for that. When everyone else missed it, she got it. And so she breaks this jar of expensive ointment and pours it on Jesus. She gave it all. And she didn't just dip in and get a little bit of it or just pour a little bit out. She breaks the jar, which maybe is why the disciples are so indignant, because it was extravagant, right? It was an extravagant gift. That jar of ointment probably was worth a year's salary, they say, maybe more. And she gives it all to Jesus. I would just pray this morning that you know how necessary this trip to the cross is for you this morning. Absolutely necessary for you, not just for Mary, not just for the disciples, not just for those other sinners out there, but necessary for you. It was a sacrifice that was so necessary that it's worth your most extravagant gift in return, to pour out at the feet of Jesus like Mary did. It's only going to happen. You're only going to love that Jesus, right, for what he did, when you understand what he did for you and how necessary it was for you to be redeemed in that way. You know, this may well be the most well-known story in history. I don't know if we talk about it that way, but it says here that everywhere the gospel has preached, everywhere that the gospel will be preached, this story will be told. Now just think about that. Everywhere in the world since this day, just before Jesus' death, that the gospel's been preached, this story of Mary's sacrifice of ointment in love of her Savior is told. It's a reminder in some ways that God honors those that honor him. Mary didn't get rich though, right? God didn't honor her by making her rich, but her life was changed forever, right? As she was redeemed at the cross, changed by the love Jesus showed to her as he went to the cross. Sadly, not everyone in the group is as understanding as Mary. I think it's interesting in John, we're told that it's Judas Iscariot that is indignant. Here we're told all the disciples were indignant. That means angry about something they thought was unjust, unnecessary, unworthy. The apparent waste of this expensive ointment made them angry. They all thought it could be used more effectively by supporting the poor or for supporting the poor. Jesus disagrees, right? And he makes no qualms about it either. He disagrees. He calls it a beautiful thing, a moment that will be remembered forever. It's dangerous to disagree with Jesus, so I won't do that, right? Jesus sees this as a beautiful moment. Why? Because of what he was about to do, right? You only are going to have Jesus for a couple of more days. The poor will always be with you. This is Mary's opportunity, and she takes it, and Jesus loves her for it. Well, the crucifixion is this pivotal moment, right, in history. And so it's good for us to share with people around us that God is in charge. People need to know that, especially with all the chaos going on around us. It's good for them to know that God's in charge. I remember reading a story one time, a war going on, World War II, whatever. There was two men in the midst of like bombing and gunfire and everything, and they were walking down the street, like facing each other, walking down the street in like some sort of perfect calmness, even though there was this chaos. And as they passed each other, they each stopped. They turned around and said, "Jesus?" And they said, "Yeah." And then they turned around and kept going. You know what I mean? Like they were in this calm in the midst of chaos because they knew God was in charge. Well, it's good for you to tell them that the love of Jesus is worth sacrificing everything. Don't hold on to things so tightly. It's not necessary. But it's good to remind them, you know, Jesus may not be who you thought he was. Jesus may not be who you thought he was. And like I said, in that passage in John 12, we're told Judas was the one, right? So in some sense, he's the voice of the disciples' anger. I don't want you to think that's two separate things here. Yes, all the disciples were indignant, but Judas is the voice of the disciples, and we see that in John saying that, you know, we could have sold this money and given it to the poor. But you know, John also makes it clear that Judas didn't care about the poor. He didn't really care about the poor. He was using that as an excuse, right? John or Judas cared about the money. John tells us that Judas was a thief. He really just wanted to steal some of the money from the money bag. But God had a different plan. God had a different plan. Jesus would not be the Jesus that Judas wanted. Judas wanted a militant leader who would kick out the Romans and become king, and then he would have access to lots of money, right? But instead, it becomes very clear to Judas here that Jesus is going to take the road of suffering, not the road to glory in man's eyes. And Judas refused to accept that. Judas didn't want a Jesus like that. He wanted a Jesus that would be a military leader. And so he turns to betray him. What is your view of Jesus this morning? Is he the Jesus you thought he was? Did you expect Jesus to be someone who would bless you and keep you and make your days just full of gumdrops and bonbons? Maybe that's not the Jesus that you're finding. Jesus never promised to be that kind of a Jesus. He promised to be a Messiah who would save you from the wrath of God, right? A Messiah who would save you from your sins. A Messiah who would give you what is good for you. Maybe not exactly everything you want. You need to see Jesus for who he really is, not who you want him to be. And how you see Jesus will determine how you respond to his work on the cross. If you see him like Judas sees him, then you'll respond by betraying him, by rejecting him. But when you see him like Mary sees him, you'll respond both with sorrow for your sin and a great joy over your Savior. And you'll understand it's okay to sacrifice everything for him. Jesus set his face toward the cross, right? Judas has set his face toward betrayal, all because he misunderstands what is about to take place. He misunderstands what is about to take place. Now, this is kind of a funny story. A woman, one day, she takes her lunch break at the office, and she goes across the street to the cafe to get a cup of coffee. And on the way, she stops at the newsstand. She buys a newspaper, a little package of cookies. You know, they come in a little cellophane package, you know, and she takes them over there, gets her coffee, sits down, starts reading her newspaper. Well, before long, she sees this older gentleman sitting kind of across the table from her, and she doesn't think anything of it, keeps reading her newspaper, and then she hears the cellophane on her package of cookies open. And she looks over, and this elderly gentleman is eating one of her cookies. Well, she's quite alarmed, and so she says, well, I'll fix him. And she reaches over and grabs that package of cookie and takes one and eats it herself, sets her package of cookies back down, and well, pretty soon the elderly gentleman grabs that pack of cookies and eats another cookie. Well, now she's really upset, so she snatches another one and eats another one, and this goes on until the package of cookies is gone. And the gentleman just gets up and smiles and goes about his business, and she goes to leave, so she goes to the counter to pay for her coffee, and she reaches in her purse for her wallet, and she hears the crinkling of a cellophane package of cookies that were still in her purse. Misunderstandings are hard. And you can see how people can get upset pretty quickly over something that's not true. Are you ever trying to eat somebody else's cookies and angry because you think they're eating your cookies, right? Now, this is a funny example of a misunderstanding, right? But it illustrates just how easy it is for us to get it wrong about who Jesus is. To think that, you know, Jesus should be making everything rosy all the time. I should never have any trouble at all. Right? That is not who Jesus is. And it makes us easy to get worked up by events that are not in our control. You know, whether it's, you know, the word cancer or the pandemic or you know, not getting along with a coworker. When we don't feel in control, it's easy for us to misunderstand who Jesus is. People plotted against the Savior. Judas promised to betray the Savior. Mary is found honoring the Savior. It all comes down to who you think Jesus is. What I want to leave you with this morning from this passage is that these events point to the most pivotal moment in history, right? As Jesus goes to the cross. And God was in charge of that moment, right? Not the religious leaders, not Judas, not even Mary, right? Mary has no ability to stop Jesus from going to the cross. She understands God's plan, this event, right? And that this event can't be thwarted even by these wicked men. God's plan, this event. Judas, even his greed can't stop this event from happening or make it happen any faster, right? God planned this event using this beautiful act of Mary to remind us of the value of the sacrifice of Jesus. The sacrifice of Jesus was more extravagant than the sacrifice of Mary. Right? She poured out her most expensive, most valued possession on Jesus, but Jesus' sacrifice is even more extravagant than that. And so I would just ask us as we leave this morning to just be meditating upon what it means, this wonder of the gift of Jesus. What does that mean for us? And what does it mean that it's that God is willing to pour out that kind of extravagant sacrifice for us, especially as next week begins the season of Advent. So let's pray. Lord, as we, you know, as we think about the sacrifice of Jesus, while at the same time moving into the season of Advent, where we talk about the birth of Jesus, we see a great contrast. You know, the great joy of the birth of the Savior with the great sorrow over the sacrifice of the Savior, and yet they are intertwined in a way that makes them show forth your glory and your love and your mercy in a very special way. So we pray that we would be mindful of that this week as we interact with others around us this week of Thanksgiving, and that we would be reminding them of just how wonderful you are. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll stand together and close our time singing number 515, Count Your Blessings. Again, another great song to be singing during the season of Thanksgiving. 515, let's stand together. Just a reminder that we are planning on decorating the church next week. So bring a sandwich. We'll try to have some soup. If that changes, we will let you know via the prayer chain. But for now, that's what we'll plan on doing after church. And hopefully the Lord will be gracious and let that be accomplished. But hear the Lord's benediction. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace.